All right, guys. Thank you so much for everyone being on the call. We have Matt Thurmax from Chicago Title on today. Matt, we are so excited to talk to you because title insurance, even though we deal with it on a regular basis, is still sometimes a little bit of a mystery on what goes on in the inner workings behind the scenes. So,
thanks for having me on, Meg.
Yeah, no, thank you. We are so excited. So everyone, just so you know, has your presentation, and everyone does have your contact information as well.
Great.
So, yeah, just, you know, let me know kind of if you want to just start going through the presentation or how do you want to handle it?
Yeah, no, that's great. I'll just, hello, everybody. Again, as Meg said, I'm Matt Thurmax. I'm with Chicago Title Insurance Company in Chicago, Illinois. Meg and I have been working together for a little bit, and it's great to talk to you guys about, you know, the, kind of the basic needs and understandings of title insurance. As I know, it's obviously a big part of the work you guys do, or at least it's part of the process. But before I get into the presentation, just a quick introduction with me. Again, I'm with Chicago Title in Chicago. Chicago Title is the largest title company in the United States. We're part of the Fidelity National Financial family of title underwriters. So we have offices in all 50 states with people on the ground everywhere, and we do commercial and residential transactions, but my office typically focuses on commercial work at the national level, and we've got a team of 150 people in my office alone. So we really feel like we're a strong asset to a group like you guys with all the national commercial and even some of the residential stuff that you guys are doing. So really value the partnership with Megan and your team. So I'll kind of get right into it here. With the presentation, if you guys are following along. Mm-hmm. So today, and Meg, like I said, feel free to jump in whenever.
Yeah.
And if we want to have any questions after, we can discuss or, you know, whatever's best. So real informal. So today we're going to go over a few things regarding title insurance. What is title insurance? Because you guys are in the business of working with commercial loans and working with lenders, we're going to talk about, you know, why lenders need title, and then the process of getting title insurance ordered, you know, what's necessary for that, then some of the ins and the outs regarding how we conduct a title search on properties, what can be found in those searches, and then after the search we get into the title commitment stage, get some endorsements that can be added to the title policy, and then, you know, as we get finished with title, we close the deal with the title company, as I'm sure you're all familiar. We handle the escrow and the money, and we're known as we move the money. So we'll get into that. And then I want to definitely share some resources with you guys regarding different states about title customs, who pays for title, and what to think about and how you guys can be the best asset to your customer base. Okay, so we'll get going here. Talk about title. So, you know, let's get to the bare bones about what is title insurance. It's something that's obviously part of every transaction, but it can be difficult to understand. So well, I'm going to do a little reading off the presentation, but I'll talk as well. But, you know, to get to the definition, title insurance is a unique form of insurance. It essentially provides coverage for future claims or future losses due to title defects, which are created by some past event. A lot of times when we get insurance, like, you know, we get auto insurance, we think about insurance about what could happen in the future, and if there's a problem that comes up, if you get in a car crash, well, we've got insurance to protect that. Well, title insurance is protecting you from the past. So that's kind of really important to understand. And I'm going to give you guys kind of an example, if, you know, for those of you trying to, like, get a visual. So let's look at it, like, at the residential level. Let's say an older person is living in a home on your block, okay, and they've had a neighbor come over to cut their grass for 20 years. Then one day, the person who owns the house dies, okay, and the house is vacant. Well, let's say that neighbor decides to move into the house. And the next thing you know, the neighbor puts up a for sale sign, sells the house, finds a buyer. They decide, you know, they don't get title insurance or they don't engage a title company, but they sell the house between them. Okay, so you've got some new owners, happy owners that have bought the house. But then, let's say 2 years later, the son or daughter of the original owner of the house comes knocking at the door and says, hey, this is supposed to be my house. And they say, well, what do you mean? We bought it from this person. Well, soon to find out, there was a deed, a deed which is documentation that says who has possession of the house. The original owner said, my kids are supposed to get the house, when I leave or, when I die. So that kind of creates a lot of problems for those new owners, a lot of legalities. If there was a title search, we could have found out, where all the legal documentation is and where who the next owner should be legally. So it's all these things that have happened in the past, and we do, and title insurance protects those new owners from situations that could arise like that. And that's why it's very important. But let's talk about lenders. You guys are very involved with lenders. Lenders want that same protection. So if a lender is going to give out a loan on a property, they want to make sure that property is in good standing, good title standing. And it's typically, they're always going to want it. And that's something, you guys want to be telling, your customers that the lender is going to have the requirements. So if someone says, for lenders, I put in the presentation, lenders title insurance protects you against problems with title for your property. If someone says they have a claim against, if someone decides to sue and they have a claim against a property, or whether it's residential or commercial, lenders, they want to be aware of that. So they want to be protected. They want to make the right decisions if they think this is a good, good opportunity for them. If there's a lot of problems on that with that property in the past, from an ownership standpoint or from other different claims, they're going to want nothing to do with it. So it's very important. Lender's title insurance. It only covers the claims that are impacted on the lender's loan, though. If a property was acquired in 1998, and then that person or business wants to refinance 5 years later, well, a lot could have happened between then. And lenders want to make sure they get title insurance so they're covered from any transgressions or any legal defects or claims or liens on the property. So that's kind of a little background there. Meg, I don't know if you want to jump in or if you feel like that makes sense.
No, that's great, Matt. You're doing an amazing job. So I know we're on page 6 here. But that's great to know, so we can explain some of these things to borrowers, because a borrower is always trying to lower their closing costs, and I totally understand where they're coming from. But there's certain things that are needed, on a transaction. And I love that you explained this to me, because I have had borrowers buy properties from auctions actually, or just get some type of purchase and sales agreement on their own and not get title insurance. And then I was going to do maybe their takeout loan into some permit, and all these title issues came up because they weren't discovered in the first place,
Yeah, exactly. It really becomes, the title aspect becomes this necessary background check for lack of general terms, but
yeah.
So moving along here, you're probably thinking, you identified a commercial loan. We need to order title insurance. And how would you go about doing that? So I put some information on here about what's important for somebody like me, the information I need to get a title order started. We usually have application forms, and that's something I can send over to you, Meg. But things we need are the address. If you've got a parcel identification number, obviously, so you guys are doing deals around the country, so any background on the property you have. We also like to know the loan amount or the loan consideration, because that's how pricing gets figured out. If it's a $600,000 loan, that helps us understand where the pricing needs to be. So that's very important. The name of the proposed insured, so who's going to be refinancing. It's always good to have lender information as well. I will say that on the upfront, just so we know who we're going to be talking to or who has interest in seeing this title commitment. Another thing I wanted to say, and I was thinking about this, Meg, what's also going to be an extra bonus for you guys is always checking to see if you have a prior title policy with this property. Because in some states, if you have a prior title policy for the title company, you can get a reissue credit. So and that means you're just going to save your customer money on the title policy. Florida is an example of that. And that's something I can obviously guide you along and help you as, you know, as we're sort of doing different deals in different states. But that's important, you know, and on the other side of that too, for the title company to have a prior title policy, that can help to speed up our search. And that can help. We've got something that we can access and something to go off of. Now, we might find out totally different findings from with our new title search, but so that's big for two reasons. You know, you can say you're going to save your customer money in some states, and we can speed it along quicker. But so property information, address, parcel number, all the parties involved, the loan consideration, those are all great, great, very helpful things for us to have to get the title work started. But next slide here, we'll talk a little bit more about the title search, you know, how this gets started. So once we have all the information that you guys send to us, we place the title order and we conduct the search. And I just wanted to get a couple slides together about, what goes on in this title search. And essentially, you know, we have our examining team what they do is they analyze the records of this property, county records, city records, public records. So what we call the chain of title, you know, and sometimes we have to go back 80 years, 70 years, and we want to look at, you know, the history and the ownership of the ownership of the property, who bought it, when it was sold last, and such like that. And part of this search is we do a tax search, and we want to see a tax history. And this is also just another very important part of the title insurance process. A lot of times we see unpaid taxes. And those are things that the parties have to clear up in order, whether it's a purchase sale or even lenders. I mean, lenders, you know, they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to jump in on another loan if, you know, 3 years have passed, but there's a lot of delinquent taxes. So we do a full tax search. And then, you know, we do we look for liens and judgments on the property. An example of there's something what we call a mechanics lien. You say, okay, what's a mechanics lien? Let's say somebody owned a property and they had work done on the property, construction work, but they didn't pay out they haven't completely paid out the subcontractors. Well, then those contractors are going to file a claim or they're going to file a mechanics lien on that property. They still need to be paid out. And obviously that creates a problem, you know, from a title standpoint. And those are things that, you know, we find and then the parties have to clean up if they want to, you know, have clean title and transfer the property or, you know, a lot in your cases are refinance the property. So moving on, so other things you can find in title searches, I just put a list together here on slide 9. Like I said, errors in tax records, conveyance issues, probate, inadequate legal descriptions, deeds done incorrectly. Deeds issued by minors. These are things that, you know, that wouldn't be found if we don't examine the county records and don't see what the title looks like. You know, I think as we're going along here, kind of starting to understand the importance of it, from a transactional standpoint for commercial real estate. Any questions there, Meg, or any thoughts?
I was going to ask you a quick question. I know we're going to do questions at the end, on slide 9, this is great. Just wondering, do you guys, and I know kind of on slide 8 it had some judgment name search, when you look up a borrower's name, like, do you guys see if they have any, and I haven't read this whole thing, judgments or lawsuits or pending legal action against them? Because that happened to me on deals too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. We definitely look, you know, at borrower history, and that can come up. And that's, you say, like you said, you see some of that, I'm sure.
I've seen like everything, so
yeah,
I've seen almost every reason that could kill a deal, but I'm sure I will see more. So
and it's like you said, and if it's something they can't clean up, I mean, there's, you know, we're just, you know, we might not insure the property, or, you know, obviously the buyer has its, you know, or the borrower has its own issues. So we're definitely searching the history there. To kind of wrap up the title search process, a title search, you know, typically takes 7 to 10 business days for us to conduct. It can sometimes take quicker, It can, depending on the property, I mentioned here, or sometimes we have rural properties or properties out in smaller areas or smaller parts of the country where we have to rely on, you know, some people that only handle just that town. It could take longer. But 7 to 10 business days, whatever you like to say, to get the search completed, the title commitment generated. And something we always do for, you know, our customers is we provide hyperlinks, clickable hyperlinks in the title commitment. And those links take you to all documentation necessary to the property that needs to be examined, whether it's deeds, judgments, liens. It's a nicer way to look at a title commitment. So sometimes you got to be more patient than the next. But, when you have a prior policy and you have all that information on the upfront, it really, really helps us and helps our search team do that. And so, like you said, when we do the search and we form the title commitment. I've kind of put some pictures in here that shows you what a title commitment looks like. It's kind of a lot to look at, and not something you guys need to know. But I think it's important just to see, you know, what some of the work we're doing. And we have what we call Schedule A and Schedule B. And Schedule A at the top of the title commitment gives you the very high level information: the date which was created, the type of the policy amount meaning the loan amount. The names of the parties involved, the type of the state. And then Schedule B kind of gets more into the nitty-gritty of the property about what's been found and some of our clarifications and what we expect regarding how we're going to issue our coverage on the property. And a lot of times, a lot of times we have, there's lawyers involved. And so a lot of the purchase sale deals, Meg, on some of the loan deals, like you said, you don't always see attorneys, but on the loan side, the bank is usually the one, you know, really trying to work out what they want the title commitment to be. And they work with our team on that. It's very technical language. But, you know, on slide 13 here, you see the taxes, tax history listed. And obviously that's very, very important. And so that's part of our tax search. So that's just a little kind of look into the actual title commitment. It lists out the history. There was a lien or, you know, there was a judgment or all different things. And it can get pretty in-depth, but it's obviously once that title commitment's worked out, you know, that's, you know, between parties we can move along. But another thing I wanted to add, I think that's important for you guys. You don't have to be experts on what title insurance is, but you got to know just enough to help your customers. Something that's very common in loan transactions, refinance transactions, are there's something called endorsements. The title policy endorsements. And essentially what they are is the lender is going to require they're going to say, okay, we want a bunch of endorsements, and that's additional coverage, essentially, for the title policy. So that means, if that land was bought 5 years ago, and 5 years went by, and there's now this refinance, they want, you know, there could have been an environmental lien on the property. There could have been survey issues with the property. There could be a right-of-way, or there could be easements. You know, these are things we try to all find, but if there's some uncertainty or they just want the benefit of the doubt of extra coverage, we're going to give them extra coverage, but that comes with a cost. So that means we're going to take on some more risk by insuring the property, but we're going to give the endorsements. So where do you guys come in with that? Well, when it comes down to ordering title, it's good to know what title is going to cost in certain states. But it's also good to know that endorsements, lenders a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times want endorsements, and those endorsements are going to cost money. And your customers, the actual borrower, is going to have to pay for this as part of, you know, the title package and the closing fees. So I think it's just a little bonus to know when you're setting expectations. If you've got to find out what title is going to cost, always good to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger the transaction gets, More chances are going to be endorsements because lenders, they send me their requirements, and they want this coverage. So I just think that's, you don't need to be an endorsement expert by any means, but to know what they are and to know that they're going to cost money, and lenders like them, is very good to know for your clients. But remember, endorsements are part of the title commitment and the title policy. That's all, once that's in and once that's finalized, we get to the closing stages. And as you guys know, or most of you know, the title company, we go to escrow and we close the deal and fund the deal. So I just put in a couple slides about closing. It's sometimes required. It can differ between a purchase, sale, or a refinance. But I think it's important for you guys, and Meg, is the stuff, when we decide on a closing date, sometimes the borrower will do that, the bank will do that. We get that scheduled, we get an escrow officer assigned, and mm-hmm. we need a lot of documentation to essentially clear title through. But, things like payoff letters or broker commission statements, mm-hmm. important for us to have. Everybody wants to get paid, right? So.
Yeah,
it's good for the title company. We need all that documentation. So, you specific, what's your commission statement? So we can pay you through the closing. If there's an attorney involved, we need attorney fees. We need if there was a surveying company, surveyors need to send us, their costs. Everybody wants to get paid on time, and so for you guys, it's good to have any figures that you're aware of that are concerned on your end of the deal. We can fund, but we can wire you that money or send you a check or whatever. But closing documentation can vary, but it's always, it's always good for you as a broker, kind of have to sense when the closing date is. And that's good for us to know. And then getting us all the documentation or any payout letters of such, that are appropriate so we can all get paid.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things, the next slide here on 18, additional closing matters. Like I said, as brokers, you don't need to be experts, but just to kind of know the process, it is important. So, if you guys have a deal and we close on, December 19th, we fund the money, parties are happy, that's great. But there's a difference between the date of the closing and when the actual mortgage gets recorded. Because we want to record the mortgage with the county in a deed form, and it says so and so, this bank is insured, that could be 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. So when I say New York style versus escrow closing, we have what we call a New York style closing, where we're not only going to insure you up to the date of the closing, but also to the date of the recording, and then we issue a final policy. And then the post-closing aspect is, a lot of it's, it's us getting the bank, the lender, their final policy that they requested, that we worked on together. And that's how we kind of button things up to really close it. We closed the deal, but there's some back-end things, too. Because the title policy is why we got into this business, why everybody got involved in the first place. Lender mm-hmm. wants a title policy. And we've got to deliver that to them. So that's kind of a high level. That was kind of a high level run through. I know it seems like a lot of information, but around the title order process and the closing process. But I did throw in this last slide here before we take questions. I think it's going to be great for you guys, and it's important to know why every state's different when it comes to title insurance. I put a link in here, and you guys can click on through. It's a great ebook reader that shows you the title customs in every state. Because I'll give you an example. And I know you guys, there's certain states that have really high title fees, and there's other states that have lower title fees. I know you don't do a lot of if you do purchase sales, but in some states the seller pays for title, in other states mm-hmm. the buyer pays for title. There's transfer taxes in different states, recording fees. So this ebook link that I put in here, if you're doing a deal in Pennsylvania, if you're doing a deal in New Mexico, you've got a resource that kind of shows you, title customs, and that can be helpful to your customer, because every state is different, And my office, we're a national resource, and we're a direct underwriter, so we're doing deals all over the country. So it's important for you guys. It's important for us to know the laws and customs regarding title insurance for each state. Title insurance is a one-time premium. You pay the title fees and you're done. It's not like a monthly insurance fee. But then when you come back in 5 years to do a refinance, you've got to pay again. But it's looked at as a one-time premium. But it's important to know the differences of each state. Because, Meg, I know you guys are doing stuff all over the place.
Yeah, all over the country. We got a lot of deals going on everywhere. So, Matt, honestly, that was amazing. Thank you so much for that overview. I just have two quick questions for you, and then I want to let everyone else ask their questions.
Yep.
Like I said, I'm doing a deal right now at the bar in Connecticut, which is an attorney state, and I've been dealing with the attorney, of course, that's handling title, and he mentioned something to me about getting a title insurance company involved, and I didn't really pry into it, but even in the states that require attorneys, does the attorney still need to involve a direct underwriting office like you, or does the attorney just handle it all the way?
It can vary. In Illinois, for example, they've got to engage a title insurance company. Is this a residential or commercial transaction?
It's actually a residential fix and flip. It's commercial for us because we do a lot of 1-4 units as long as it's the bar is really closing an LLC and it's a pure investment property. So this actually is a 2-unit, but my bar is buying it, fixing it, and going to sell it off.
Sometimes in different, there's something what we call title. You've heard the term title agent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's typically an attorney, and it's an attorney that essentially partners with title companies. They do the search part. The attorneys handle that instead of the title company doing the search. The attorneys do that, and then they get a fee for that. So that's common in some places. It can change. Attorneys like to involve title companies because it's typically more security for them in working out the policy.
So I have another dumb question for you then. So in the state,
not dumb question.
Well, so in Connecticut, with this bar I'm dealing with, so if the lawyer is going to involve a title company, regardless, not to ever cut the lawyer out of fee, but does the bar really need to go through a lawyer? Is that like a law?
It's not a law, but Meg, a lot of times it really helps the process.
Okay.
It can help speed up the process. The bigger the deals, we usually see attorneys on them. It's not a law, but it really helps. It really helps sometimes negotiate.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say it's mandatory because you see both ways. Because sometimes the bank totally runs with it,
The only reason I'm asking is because, every single lender we work with is also, they have very, very, very good processing departments, very good underwriters, so they're all over that stuff, as well. And now, obviously, I'm in the mix as well, making sure everything happens properly for a close because sometimes lenders lose documents, and that's why I keep track of everything.
It's case by case the property. I mean, we did that deal in Indiana together. Remember the church deal?
Oh, it was horrible.
it was horrible because of all the liens on the property.
Yeah.
And we had to engage a lot of local counsel and such because that gets to the point where it's out of the bank's hands, So it depends. Mm-hmm.
So the only reason I'm talking is because a lot of borrowers are just crazy about their closing fees, and we're always very reasonable with points with our borrowers as well. But if if I always tell the borrower, if you want to use an attorney, because obviously this is a commercial transaction, go ahead, use your attorney. I'm not going to tell you to use one or not use one. But when people start complaining about closing costs and stuff, because we're very open here with closing costs, I'll break down as much as I possibly can to them. And let them know how much the lender, I clearly can ask the lender, how many months do you escrow for title and taxes,
Right.
So I can do that breakdown for them just in an email format. But if I say to them, hey, maybe you don't need to pay a lender $3,000 just to do a search, that may actually help us get the deal closed,
Correct. Yeah. It's case by case, Meg.
Yeah.
Because as you know, some deals are pretty streamlined, and some deals can be a real mess.
Yes. And then just one last thing. I think it'd be really important to explain to the reps that what's the difference between a direct underwriting office, title office like you guys, and maybe an office that's not direct, because that's huge for us.
No, that's good. To talk a little bit more about that, my office here in downtown Chicago, we're a commercial national operation. We're a direct underwriter. And what that means is my office, the people, the folks that work with my team, we can underwrite any transaction across the country, whether it's in Illinois, New Mexico, Maine, Maryland. We have the ability. We have a group of a national team of underwriters, which also attorneys, underwriters that can do that. That's typically not the case with title companies. Title companies are usually set up, or title offices are set up to take care of that area, to take care of that county. So for somebody like you, you can call me and you just work with my team only, no matter where your deal is, as opposed to you guys having, okay, I've got this deal in Pittsburgh, I've got to call Chicago Title Pittsburgh. Oh, I've got this deal in Miami, I've got to call. No, you just call my group. You just get in touch with my team and we can handle it, and you only work with our group of professionals. In the background, we'll work with our teams, Chicago Title teams in those states to help with those properties. But the beauty of being a direct underwriter is, for customers like you guys that are doing national work, you work with the same title group every time.
Yeah. All right, Matt. That was amazing. And that's so huge to us because we do those all over the country. So it's, before I got in contact with you, I was doing that, trying to find local title offices, and it was just a waste of time. When I found you guys, I was like, this is so much better.
A waste of time is very difficult for you guys to track down people and have to talk and deal with people you don't know, because that's very tough. So we really pride the way we're set up to partner with groups like you guys, making the process easier.
So what I'm going to do real quick, I just want to take everyone off mute to see if anyone has any questions. So give me one second. All right, guys. Does anyone have any questions about title insurance for Matt, or just anything they want to comment?
Hi, this is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Megan. We recently had a borrower who claimed to close on a property and later find out that there was still property tax liens against the property not disclosed at closing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was the lady we talked to that I keep following up, and she's still trying to work those issues out, Ryan, just so you know. So, yeah, Matt, a couple weeks ago, me and Ryan talked to a borrower that he originated, and he did a hard money loan with RCN, who's actually a lender we work with, and they use ServiceLink to handle, title. But they somehow closing happened and taxes from 2014 weren't paid, and now she's going through a big discrepancy.
Right.
I don't even know how that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's common, and it sounds like the deal hasn't closed yet. Correct?
No, it actually did. That's the weird thing. She's in a hard money loan with RCN, and they closed in 2015, she closed that deal, I think, in 2016, actually. After she closed, she's already in a hard money loan with them. She's getting mortgage payments from RCN. For some reason, whoever they used for title, mistake. They somehow did not make sure taxes on that property from 2014 were paid. And now RCN's threatening her and sending her letters like, you have unpaid taxes on the property and stuff. And that was the title company's job to figure out.
Right, and I'm sure there's going to be a claim filed against the title company.
I haven't dug that far into it. She's a really nice woman, and she's actually trying to handle it herself. She's going down to the county, and
she doesn't have an attorney.
She doesn't, and I should probably recommend her. Well, actually, I don't know. I didn't ask her. I don't think she does, but she's been trying to go down to the county and work it out with them herself on what she has to do to settle these taxes. So she now is in a position where she can refinance cash out on her property. We can get her into something permanent. So I said to her, as long as your LTV works out, I can get those taxes taken care of. And her LTV is really, she may need to bring some money to the table, but I can get them taken care of. But the point is, ServiceLink, this company, I've had bad experiences with them, with lenders that have made us use them. They didn't make sure the taxes were paid on this property in 2014.
Yeah. That's a tough situation, and obviously, title companies are going to make mistakes too. We have to pay out claims for things that we didn't find. How is she supposed to know, right? We did a title. The title company did a title search, but they for some reason they didn't show the tax report. But Megan, those situations, it helps to have an attorney, but maybe touch base with her.
Yeah, no, I will. We follow up every 2 weeks. She's, I probably will. Maybe I'll just shoot her an email tonight, and Ryan, I'll copy you, just maybe recommending she gets one.
Okay.
The county's trying to work with her. You're right. She wouldn't know. She's a borrower. How is she supposed to know? She inherited this property, I believe, in 2015. I have all the notes about her in our hearing. So when she inherited the property, she didn't know that there were unpaid taxes from 2014. How would she know?
Right. Yeah, but usually a title company should find that.
That's exactly what a title company is supposed to do.
Exactly. Can
I say something too, Matt? This is Damon, Damon Dumas. I've got a lot of residential mortgage experience, 16 years in a residential mortgage business. So I've seen a lot of this type of thing over the years. And what I've found, or when I've ever ran into that situation, and correct me if I'm wrong, if that title company issued a clear title policy on that property, then they are going to be required to pay that, aren't they?
Yes, correct. Yeah, yep. That's a claim. The parties would file a claim against the title company because we issued coverage. So that's something we'll have to pay out, that title company will have to pay out. And something to note about that, some smaller title companies and regional title companies don't have a big claims reserve, and that kind of puts them in a tough spot. For us, we have a huge claims reserve. We have a lot of money to be, in case we have to pay out claims. So, those are things that we can address, if we have to. But you're dead on. You're dead on.
Yeah, because I had that situation with a borrower. It was a residential property, but it was the exact situation. They actually bought the property, after, the taxes for the year that the taxes were due. So, I can't remember the years, but for example, the property in 2014, the taxes were from 2012, which was before they even owned the property, but it was still a lien on their title showing the taxes were past due. At which, I instructed the borrower to contact the title company and let, file a claim. And that's exactly what happened. They filed a claim and they paid it. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't the borrower's fault. They issued a title that was basically saying it was free and clear and all the taxes and everything are up to date, and they had to eat it. So.
Yeah. Megan, that's a great example. Megan, your situation, it sounds like they're going to have to do some digging in the history, the tax history, because she inherited it, but could be messy.
Yeah, but Damon, thank you so much for bringing that up, because Ryan, that might save our deal here, because when I was breaking down her figures to her, she was going to have to bring some money to closing, which borrowers, this is a refinance, and they all tried not to bring money to closing if possible. So her numbers actually worked out pretty good based on where her new LTV is going to be. It's just with this, all these taxes from 2014 that RCN telling her she has to pay it, I believe, which isn't the case. I've closed with RCN several times. They would have not closed if they didn't. They will not close, just like any lender, if they don't have a free and clear title policy. So ServiceLink made the mistake. Thank you guys so much for bringing that up, Ryan. I'm going to give her a call after this call and say, why don't you go back to ServiceLink and file a claim? This poor woman's trying to work this out on herself. Like, she's trying to figure it out with the county.
And she wasn't it like 80 grand or something?
What is her name again? Maya, right?
Yeah.
Maya, that's you.
Yeah, I thought it was like $80,000 or something.
It's a large amount that they're saying that she owes, and that's why when me and you were talking to her, I was trying to tell her, I don't know how that happened, because I could see maybe a title company making a mistake if this was like several years ago. Like, Matt, even that deal we did together, that was a while ago, with the searches
on it. Indiana property?
Yeah, this was 2014, so it's not that long ago, you know?
Yeah, that's poor effort there.
I have had a horrible experience. Like, honestly, I've had really bad experiences with ServiceLink, and some of our lenders, like Vizio is one of them, now RCN's using them. Some of the lenders that we work with, I don't know what ServiceLink's deal is, and Matt, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're requiring us to use
them. I don't know if I'm super familiar.
Yeah, they're requiring people to use them, and my last deal I actually just did almost died because ServiceLink couldn't figure out the title issues. And some of them were very, very simple things, like
right.
I was giving the proof of payoffs and all kinds of stuff, and they just couldn't get together. So
yeah.
it was crazy. But yeah.
Megan, so we have to use those titles. They're basically don't give us an option to use an alternative title company like Chicago Title in that case. You can't say, hey, I'm not going
to I always try to use Chicago Title. Most lenders will let you. In Vizio's case, they actually did let me switch title companies, and I actually just used the title company the borrower used previously that already issued him a title policy. So they already issued him free and clear title like a month before that on a different deal, so I just went right back to them because they were just so used to dealing with him and we were in a time crunch. This borrower was actually sued too in the middle of this transaction, so it would be highly unlikely that Matt's company is going to issue them free and clear title. You know,
the company
was fine with doing it, so they did it, which is the only way this deal went through. But yeah, Vizio for some reason likes to use ServiceLink. I don't know why. I hate them. They're horrible. Some of the lenders try to push us into using certain title companies, and I always just call the like processor to say to them, like, look, like, we've had so many bad experiences with using certain title companies. Can we just, you know, we'll make sure a title gets done. I think a lot of times the lender is scared that the broker is not going to get it together and get all parties on deck and do everything that needs to, you know, happen in order for a close to happen, because a lot of brokers just wouldn't, you know. But we're not that kind of shop. You know, we're going to make sure everything happens that needs to happen. Everyone's going to be coordinating properly. Everyone has the proper documents. So, yeah. They'll let us move over.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's good that you guys are seeing a lot, but, you know,
okay.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, does anyone want to make any comments, any weird deals you've seen, or throw anything else by Matt, run anything by him about title insurance?
The only thing I would say, again, this is Damon, you know, if you have somebody with a common name, and I'm sure Matt will be able to, you know, say more about this, but if you have somebody with a very common name, like John Smith or like that, when they do those name searches, a lot of times other stuff will come up on another person.
Yes.
That could get crossed and it could create some issues, and it's not even our borrower that has the issue. So I'm sure Matt can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, on the residential level, that's very common, and it can be very tricky. And you know, any information that you guys have on the upfront about the actual borrower, things to know, you know, that for us that's helpful, because you know, sometimes you know, the due diligence, there's not enough due diligence, you know, on that. So that can create some really, really messy problems that nobody would ever know. And if we're not studying title, if we're not studying the commitment, create a lot of issues.
I've even seen that on commercial transactions as well. I've had borrowers where, this last loan I did for a gentleman named Felton Heyman, and this thing kept coming up on title, and he kept saying, that's not me. It was a foreclosure kept coming up under him when ServiceLink was running title, and
yeah.
He just kept saying to me, that's not, like, I had no reason to think he was lying, because eventually he would have broken down over the weeks, you know. He was just so adamant that it wasn't him. So when a situation happens like that, I mean, how do we prove that? You know, how do you guys prove that it's not them?
I mean, well, it comes down to the, you know, analyzing, you know, county records and chain of title and deed history. It sounds like we have to give our best guess, but If we got to go far back, you know, on the chain of title, we will. And that's usually the best way to go about it. So I don't know if that really answers your question, because it's a case by case basis. It's just the more information we know on the upfront about the parties involved or about John Smith, you know, who's selling it to John Smith, you know, you know, best we can set the expectations for our search and examiners and what they're looking at. So, you know, it's like we're all kind of giving it our best guess, but we, you know, our group really prides itself in, because, you know, our history and how big our team is and the amount of deals we're doing. So,
okay. So, Ryan, I just wanted to let you know real quick, and Matt, we know we got to let you go pretty soon. But Ryan, I did find the notes in our CRM. So when we talked to her, she closed on this in August 2015. The property appraised for $275,000 in August 2017. It's an office building, and there's actually 10 units in the office building. But we could definitely get her into a takeout loan, because she's basically almost 100% occupied. She has a tax lien on the property for $85,000 that were delinquent taxes from 2013. So it's from 2013. So she's getting these letters from delinquent taxes of $85,000.
She inherited the property?
She inherited the property. Mm-hmm.
That was okay.
But from who? A relative. We didn't ask her that. It was obviously a relative. You know?
I want to see her grandmother, but I don't know for sure.
These taxes from 2013, but she got into a hard money loan with RCN in 2015. So the service link should have caught that $85,000 of back taxes in 2013.
100%.
Yeah. So that's a huge amount, Ryan. If somehow she can dispute that and get that taken care of, her LTV is perfect.
That
$85,000 I was planning to be paid for some of it in her takeout, which won't have to happen.
Yeah.
So, Damon, thank you so much for bringing that up as well, because I didn't even think to have her do that. So, all right, guys. Well, does anyone have any other quick questions for Matt at all?
I got a quick question, Megan, on that deal. Is that real estate taxes or is that personal income tax that's due on it?
She told me on the phone that they're attached to the property, so I'm just assuming they're property taxes. But I'm going to actually give her a call when we get off the phone now just to verify some things with her, because she specifically told me it's a tax lien on the property for $85,000. I have it here in the notes. But I should probably ask her to send me a copy of it just to verify it's actually a tax lien.
Yeah, because I'm sure Matt could contest to this as well. I mean, a lot of times, even if it's an IRS tax lien, that'll show up as well, right, Matt?
Yeah, definitely.
Mhm. Yeah. So all I know is it's tax lien, but I'm gonna definitely give her a call, see if there's something we can do for her, because if we can somehow, that was the biggest issue in not getting her takeout loan done, was because there's this large tax lien of $85,000 going on. So, guys, does anyone else have any other quick questions or comments for Matt or anything about title insurance? All right. Well, thank you guys for everyone for being on the call. We had a great turnout. Matt, you did amazing. This call was like so informative for us, and it's so great for us to know these things, because borrowers are always on us, you know, please break down all my closing costs, you know, anywhere we can save them money or any, we have to explain the whole entire closing process to them and walk them through closing. So the more educated we become about all of this, it's just better for our borrowers and allows us to do better.
Well, Meg, thanks for giving me the opportunity, and good to speak with you guys. If you have additional questions or additional situations that come up here in the near future, Meg, please don't hesitate to reach out. If I can't get you the answer, I'll find you the answer. And so happy to do, like, you know, be your guys' advocate at the national level for, you know, for title and escrow needs.
Matt, thank you so much for the call. Guys, thank you so much for being on as well. I'm going to let everyone go, but everyone, if I don't talk to you, have a great weekend. And Matt, just thank you so much once again for your time.
You got it. You guys have a great weekend as well. Thanks, Matt.
Bye, Matt. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.